I will say it's a humbling experience to come here and share, because believe it or not, I don't have the answers, but we know the one who does. We all know what happened last week, and I had texted Pastor before the service, the day before, and I texted Sarah as well. Would it be better if one of us take the message? But I think the Lord had something in store for us as a church last Sunday. And I believe there was a spiritual growth and a spiritual drawing together of a congregation. And then in the afternoon, as we elders are communicating back and forth, I was asked if I could take this Sunday. And more than willing, but had no idea what Lord would have me share. And as I'm preparing, I kept coming back to what Steve shared last week. You recognize Psalm 139? And I believe in my life, and again, this message is speaking more to me than it is any of you. I've taken so much of what the Lord has for me for granted. Hopefully I can make it through today. As I'm delving in and putting my notes together and everything else, and going to different sources to see what it said, but I kept coming back to the Word. And I'm going to share a little bit different today than normal. Most of you know I have a tendency to share things differently anyways. But I just want to show you some of the things that the Lord's been working on me this week. It's really all I want to share today. If you get nothing out of it, guess what? I grew from it. But this is a psalm. Years ago, there was a youth leader who had written a book for youth. And he asked the question, who am I? Why do I matter? Isn't that a problem that most of our youth today are suffering with? But the question is, I think many of us sitting in the pew in the church are asking the same question. Who am I? Why do I matter? I was reading about, I'm not an art lover, but I read about a painting that's in the Boston Art Museum by a famous French artist depicting life from birth, infancy on through the ages. It's a large painting, one of the largest, I guess, he ever painted. Now, again, I'm not into art whatsoever. But he did one thing different on this painting than he did in any other painting. He wrote in the upper right-hand corner three phrases, which translated from French says, where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? You ask yourself that question. I found it interesting. I got to spend some time with my brother and his wife this last fall. And we're sharing. And my sister-in-law was sharing. She says, your brother always told me, he says, you want answers to life, read Proverbs. It answers every question in life. She says, I didn't believe it. And then she read Proverbs. It answers every problem, every question you have in life. Psalms deals a lot with the emotions in life. You have the peaks, you have the lows, and he deals a lot with the emotions in life. Also, the answers are there. The question is, who am I? Why do I matter? Alistair Begg stated, he says, in the Psalms we find everything. All the emotions of life, joy, sorrow, grief, doubt, fear, the expressed longings of our hearts, and so on. And all of it set within the context of the infinite, unlimited goodness, knowledge, and power of the Almighty. This passage could be four sermons. We're doing a 30,000-foot view of this passage. I really want to concentrate on the earliest part of the passage. We hear so much about search me, O God, and we'll get to that. But I want to concentrate on the individuality that God is speaking of here in this book. Now, I'll throw out three theological terms that some of you think you know the answer to. And though I've heard them all my life, this week, some of it set in. The early part of this talks about the omniscience of God. What is the omniscience? Any idea? You think you know, right? And God's omnipresence. He knows it all. He's there everywhere. And his omnipotence. And I initially was going to title this sermon Omniscience, Omnipresence, Omnipotence, So What? Because you know what? I, as a Christian, have lived not recognizing that. I realize it here. But what really is it for him to be omniscient? I want to be through sharing those words because I think we lose the meaning of those words. The real meaning is he knows me. He knows me. Not he knows everything. Yes, he does. But you know what? He knows me. My strengths, my weakness, my failing. But it doesn't stop there because he's also with me. He isn't leaving me alone. He's there to be my comfort. Now, the idea of God knowing everything, depending on your relationship with God, can either be scary or a comfort. And to me, too many times, it's a scary thing that he knows it. He knows me, but he is also with me. He says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me, and you have known me." Now that "me" in that first section has been added in by the English writers. He says, "Oh Lord, you have searched and you have known." But if we go to the next verse, we see it is personalized. That's why the addition is there. He knows me. We had a teacher in Bible school that always said, "I am my father's pet. I am his favorite." And she'd look at you and say, "If you don't feel the same, you're not in the right relationship with God. Do you feel that you are special? Do you feel that you are special to God?" And I looked at myself this week, and there have been many times when I said, "No, I don't." But he says, "You know when I sit down, when I'm tired, when I refuse to get up in the morning to spend that time with the Lord, he knows." But the other part is, as we're going to see later, he's there. "You discern my thoughts from afar." Scary, but also comforting. Because even though in my mind I want so hard to please God, if we look at the latter part of this, I want those desires. What's the psalmist say? I want to hate the same ones that hate you. And that's when he says, search me, O God, that these thoughts are my thoughts. That's the challenge. That's what he's saying when, search me, O God. Know my thoughts. Because what did he just say? He says, know my thoughts. He says, know that I want to hate these that hate you, those that chastise you. I want to have the same attitude towards them you have. That's what it is to search. We started out. Why is he asking him to search? Because he already said, you searched me. He started it out and says, you have searched me and you know me. And depending on my relationship with God, that either scares me to death or it comforts me in the darkest hour. And that's what I had to ask myself. And we go on to verse 3. He says, what does he do? You search out my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. You know, today, when we prepare for a trip, how many of you pull out the atlas and plan your trip? How many of you know what an atlas is, maybe? I have my navigator sitting right here through life. Believe me, we'd set out and we would map out our trip. We would map out our trip. And we knew the path. And we kind of, okay, maybe we're going this way. Today, what do you do? And Google map it, look it over. Okay, that sounds good. Let's go. Right? God took the atlas in my life. And he mapped out every stop, every phrase, everything. I think we miss the atlas. We depend so much on other things. Here's our atlas. This book is our atlas. It's our guide. Where are we going? God already knows. Are we willing to trust him? And that really got through to me. But you're acquainted with all my ways. And that includes the detour, the road construction on the way. You know, God's not finished with me yet, right? That was a famous saying. But he knows the construction on the way, the things that are going to get in our way. And cause. So the question is, we often think God is disappointed in me. But if he already knew it was going to happen to me, why would he be disappointed? He still loves me, and he's waiting for me to come back. This psalmist, David, saw the care of an individual. In this, it's talking about me. And you should need to read the same thing. It's talking about you. But this is pointed at me. Is he truly my guide? Is he truly my way? Even before a word is on my tongue, now, I hate to do this to my wife, but we have a tendency, even from when we first started dating, to finish each other's sentences. When you're with somebody, doesn't that happen? Does that happen when you're with somebody a lot? You begin to know what the other's thinking almost before the time comes. It even comes down to many a time we say, oh, it's for supper tonight. We almost come up with the same idea, even that. But he knows my thoughts. He guides my thoughts if we allow him. But he is so intimate. Here is that plane going over top. How many of you have flown? How many of you have flown? How many times can you look down and pick out one individual? Can you pick out one individual in this earth? Can you even pick out your own house? Yet God is far and away above that, and yet he picks out me. And he cares for me. Through all the roughness, through all the failures, he cares for who? He cares for me. And you better not say he cares for you. Yes, he cares for you, but right now I want you to recognize he cares for me. And you need to make that statement yourself. When we go through rough times, do we forget that he's there with me? Do we forget that he has that compassion for us? You hem me in. Verse 4, you hem me in. What is that? I think the best illustration of this kind of protection, he says, in front and in back, you hem me in. In my mind, picture the president trying to go someplace. Where's the Secret Service? They're in front, they're in back. Their protection. Why? The best illustration to me as an old timer, what happened when something attacked a president? What happened? Somebody threw, back in President Reagan's day, what happened? Somebody took their life, put between them and the bullet that was flying. That's what he does. He's the protection in front, he's the protection from behind. And we need to depend on that. He hems me in. He's the hedge. Some of them put the hedge. And some translations talk about the hedge. But what a beautiful spot to be protected on all sides. He hems in around me. And what's he say? Such knowledge is too wonderful for me to even understand. And I say, so many times in my life, when things happen not according to what my plans were, I have a tendency to say, Lord, where were you? Yahweh, God, where were you? And all he tells me is, where were you? Where was your thoughts? And usually when I'm, almost every time, when I'm asking that question, what did I do? I took my focus off of him and put it on me. His focus is already on me. I don't need to have my focus necessarily on me. It is high. I cannot attain it. That's his knowledge. That's that fancy word, omniscience. That's his knowledge. We think he knows everything. But the true omniscience is he knows me. What's he say? I know how many hairs on your head? Some of you, it's easier to count than others. But he knows how many hairs. If he knows every hair on my head, he knows my thoughts before I even think them. I think he knows me. He knows me. Am I taking advantage of that? I know today's society, they try to do a really lofty, friendly God. But we have a loving, caring God. And he cares so much. He knows every detail of my life. He knows me better than my own wife knows me. He knows me better than anyone in my family knows me. He knows my strengths. He knows my weaknesses. He knows what it takes to draw me out. He knows what it takes to discipline me. If you, any of you that have had several children, do all your children take discipline in the same way? The children of God do not take discipline in the same way. Think about that. We had one that if he was punished would bristle up, and the last thing he would do, I know you want me to cry, but I'm not going to cry. And that was his attitude growing all up. There's others that you could look at and just look, and they would wither and fade. You didn't have to say a word. But there were things that work in one child that doesn't work in another. The discipline that God may be putting into your life is going to be drastically different than the things he puts in my life as a discipline. There's challenges, there's tests, there's all of that. But he knows me so well that he knows what it's going to take to get through to me. Now the question is, am I going to listen? There's so much comfort in this passage. There's so much comfort. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? Where shall I go from your spirit? That's comfort. But where shall I flee? That's the fear. Where should I go? I know you're with me everywhere. But how can I get away? I'm being challenged. How can I get away from that? I want to run and hide. But where does he say he's at? Oh, what a comfort. I cannot get away from him. If I ascend into heaven, which everything is going hunky-dory. But if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. Now why? And this is one in Sheol. What's Sheol? King James says hell. If I make my bed in hell, if I go into whatever, he's there. I'm not escaping. He still loves me. He still comforts me. If I will allow him, he still wants to be there for me. For me. Even if I put myself in a situation where I should not be, he's there. He's the comfort. Things that I bring on myself, he's still there. Now, why would I put myself through hell if he's there with me? Why would I put myself in those situations? He's with me. He loves me. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell the uttermost parts of the sea, you're there. Even there. What will his hand do? It will lead me. It will lead me. But what do we have to do if he's going to lead us? His hand will lead me. What do I have to do? I have to grab hold, right? Lead me. I have to be willing for him to lead. I'm not pulling back and you're not taking me there. Oh, what a comfort to lead me. Even there, your hand shall lead me. And your right hand shall hold me. And I think it's more than just a hand that's going to hold me. There's an arm wrapped around. Gentlemen, I don't know what it is to you, but I'm walking down the street with my wife. I like to hold her hand. Why is that? The one you hold the hand with brings comfort to you and brings comfort to the one you're holding the hand with. He wants to hold your hand. I want to hold your hand. No, that's a Beatles song, isn't it? But do you? Do you want to hold his hand? He's there. Do you get comfort from the holding of the hand. No matter what's happening, do you trust him? Do you trust him when I'm holding his hand? What means I'm going nowhere else but with him. We are going together. It brings comfort. Hopefully it brings comfort to my wife when I hold her hand. It brings comfort to me. I remember the early days, the butterflies when I would first hold her hand. Maybe the butterflies aren't there, but it's a deeper understanding. I like to hold her hand. What a comfort. Jesus has said, God has said, I am there. As God, I am there. I am everywhere with you. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Here's another one. In darkness, when things seem, there seems no way out, so dark. Have you ever been in a room so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face? And you feel like there's a presence in there, right? If you're in there with someone you love, where's the comfort? The touch of the hand, right? Now, if you're in there and you don't know the one you love is there, but somebody's in there and they touch you on the shoulder, what's going to happen? I know me. I'm going to have a change of pants. Your relationship with God depends when you're in the dark place. Again, we've been in hell. He's with us. We're in this dark place and don't know our way out. And he touches me on the shoulder. And I'm here. And what's he say? Darkness means nothing to you. Darkness means absolutely nothing to him. Think of the latest night vision goggles in dark. Pick out that little form of light. Well, he sees you as well in the darkness as what we see each other right now in the light. He sees me. He's with me. What a care. If I say, surely the darkness, the night before the bright of day. Okay. For you formed, and this is used a lot, and I know we're going to use it, but I want to look at this a little bit. You formed my inner parts. You knitted me. I love the way this translation. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. One thing to form something, right? One thing to form something. How many ladies knit or crochet? All right? You pay attention to detail, right? I often see my wife crochets a lot. And often see she's going through and all of a sudden she's this way through and all of a sudden it's back down to this. Why? What happened? Those crocheters, knitters, what'd she do? Skipped a stitch, right? He knitted my innermost. He not only formed me, he knitted every bit of me. Every tiny little bit. And in order to do that, you care about what you're doing. My mother was one in her later years did a lot of tatting. I look at this cover here, and she did intricate detail like that to keep her going. I look at this kind of care. 48 years ago, about this time of year, my wife started working on something for a wedding, for our own wedding. She made her own wedding dress. You want to bet that was probably one of the best things she ever made? Why? because she cared about every stitch. She cared about every stitch. In fact, she made, I'll boast on my wife, she made all the shirts, she made all the bridesmaid dresses, she made her own wedding dress. But she cared about every single stitch. God cares about every stitch in me. He formed me in the womb. He knitted me together, not just formed it. So on, you take care of the rest. He loves me. He cares for me. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are what? Your works. My soul knows it very well. His soul knows it, but it looks to me like he's still questioning in his mind. That's what I'm doing. My soul knows it, but often I question, do you really care for me? My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Even before he began to form me in my mother's womb, he began forming me. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book you were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. He's formed every day of our life. Does God care about me? Does God care about me? Have you asked yourself that? I think each one of us has asked it one. God, do you really care? Your eyes saw my unformed substance. And then the psalmist goes on, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Do you cherish, like the psalmist, the words of the Lord, the care of the Lord? If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. I cannot escape. Oh, that I would slay the wicked, O God. And I think he's talking about, as much as anything, the wickedness in his own life. But yes, he talks about the men. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. It would make it easier on me if you would. But oh, that you would slay the wicked. Oh, men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those that hate you, O Lord? He's questioning. Am I really bothered by those that hate the Lord? Or do I scoff it off? And then he says, do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the complete hatred. I count them my enemies. He's just talked about his thoughts. Do I have your thoughts, God? And then he says, search me. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Know my heart. David was one. What did God call him? A man after what? And who failed him more than David? He was a man after God's own heart, because the innermost desire in his heart was to serve God. And he says, search me. Know my heart. He already talked about search me and you know my thoughts. Now he says, know my heart. See if my heart is drawn to wicked ways. Know me. Search me. Search my heart, oh God. Try me. Try my thoughts. Know my thoughts. And see if any grievous way in me. And lead me. Don't just search, but lead me. He's already promised through the earlier passages. He's leading him. He's leading me. He's there. I can either ignore him or I can grab hold and go with him. I don't know if you got anything out of it today, and it really doesn't matter because God spoke to my heart this week in the preparation. Do I cherish the presence of God or do I fear the presence of God? Do I cherish? Do I fear? That's the question. Let's pray. Lord, with the psalmist had many lessons to learn, and yet his heart was to serve. Lord, I just want to thank you for the lessons you taught me this week. I want to thank you for your word. Just pray that a little bit of it may be an encouragement to your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.